Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. And I'd like to welcome to the program today Paul Dwaran, who joins us by telephone from the beautiful state of Maine. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Well, thank you, Vic. I'm glad to be here.
Paul, this is quite an interesting couple of books that you've just put out. I believe this is your first book that just came out in paperback. It's called The Poacher's Son.
That's right. Yeah, it came out last May, and it's new in paperback as of April.
And then you have another book that is just coming out, and it's second book featuring the same character. Does two books make a series?
Well, I'm hoping that it's going to be more than two books. I have a contract for three, but yes, I would say that I at least have a sequel in the second book, which is called Trespasser.
Okay. Well, I read the books out of sequence. I read Trespasser first. They sent me a galley, and that one is just coming out in hardcover. And so then I went back and I finished the first book, The Poacher's Son, last night, because I really wanted to determine whether I could have read these books as standalones. And I think it's that I could, because I didn't have a problem. I didn't feel like I'd had anything spoiled by reading them out of sequence. And I thought they both stood up very well by themselves. That being said, I loved going back to The Poacher's Son, and because you really give us so many clues in the second book about this wild story that you tell us in your first book. And let's start by talking about The Poacher's Son. First
sure.
of all, how did you get the idea for your main character?
Well, I work as a magazine editor in Maine. I work for Down East, the magazine of Maine. I'm the editor-in-chief. And years ago, I was writing a series of short features, offbeat kinds of articles, about strange things that were happening in the Maine outdoors. And they all seemed to involve Maine game wardens. You know, there was a bear that was killing pigs at, around a town down the road from where I live, and another bear got into someone's kitchen while she was cooking. She thought it was somebody at the door, and it turned out to be a bear. There was a turkey hunter who was all in camo, and he was doing a turkey call, and a bobcat jumped on his back, mistaking him for a turkey. And, you know, all these great little stories, and it led me to this profession of Maine game wardens, which I know from I'm a registered Maine guide, which is something we can talk about. But, you know, it's a really unusual job. In the outdoors, it's a law enforcement job, being a game warden. And I'm a great fan of mysteries. And somehow I put the two together, that, you know, that I could combine my interest in the Maine outdoors and this interesting profession of game warden, you know, with the mystery genre, and tell some stories that are at least unique to my neck of the woods up here. So that's kind of how I got going. But, you know, I mean, there's obviously a lot more to say.
I've never been to Maine, but reading your books makes me want to go. It's a huge state, isn't it?
Well, but not by Midwestern standards, but it feels pretty big in the Northeast. You know, it's about the size of the rest of New England put together, more or less. And it's the most heavily forested state, actually. You know, people don't realize that. So we're spread out fairly thinly, especially further from the coast. And that was another driving force for me, was that most of the fiction that you see about Maine is about the coast. And I wanted to write a book in The Poacher's Son that was set in the interior, in the Maine North Woods, which is, you know, sort of where Thoreau went and some other great adventurers. Doesn't get much coverage and is a very special place to me.
And it's a very regional book, and you, in your fiction, you depict a lot of the forces that are undergoing, that are taking place, unfolding in Maine right now. You've got these huge tracts of land that are owned by corporations. You've got all these people that come up from places like Boston for their wonderful summer homes. And then you've got these desperately poor and backward kind of people that live out in the middle of nowhere. They all kind of converge in these stories.
Yeah, there's a number of different distinct communities in Maine that actually don't overlap a whole lot. And you're right. I mean, some of the political forces that are going on, and especially in the North Woods, we've seen literally tens of thousands of acres change hands, you know, within the last 15 years. We used to have a very thriving paper industry in Maine that essentially totally disappeared. And the paper companies were fairly responsible stewards of the forest. And, you know, as they moved off to South Africa and South America, they began to unload their area, their holdings, and some of them flipped to investment companies that very quickly, you know, cut down trees and to make back their investments. You have other companies that have come in and done fairly large real estate development deals, you know, building homes and, you know, a proposed resorts up in the woods on these lakefronts. You know, and these are things are happening in very, very poor parts of Maine. I mean, Maine is, you know, people don't think this, but Maine is the northern end of Appalachia.
Hmm.
And you know, and we have some very, very high poverty in certain, you know, segments, certain counties of the state. At the same time, however, we do have this, you know, reputation as vacation land, and Maine has the highest rate of second homes in the nation. So we have lots of people who, you know, who live elsewhere, and they come up for the summer and to their cottages on the coast or on lakes. And, you know, they're more than welcome. I mean, you know, they drive our economy, and it's really essential to what Maine is. But, you know, there's been a long-standing resentment sometimes between, you know, people who are here through the winter, you know, working three or four jobs, and then somebody who comes in is able to live, you know, for 2 or 3 months without, you know, sailing out on Penobscot Bay, you know, while somebody else is toiling away, you know, unable to afford their family house that used to have a water view. Now the taxes are so high they had to sell it.
Mm-hmm. So you've got the inevitable conflicts. And the thing that struck me in the book is, you've got this beautiful, pristine area, and people that have lived there for generations who don't really seem to respect it in some cases, like these guys that are racing around in these all-terrain vehicles tearing up the land. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's one of the relevant mindsets, I think, of people in Maine is, you know, this feeling of, hey, you know, why can't we have a Walmart?
You know,
it's like we, you know, it's, and, you know, elsewhere it's sort of mind boggling, but, you know, there are plenty of places here. You can't drive 100 miles, you know, without, you know, and find a McDonald's, or, I mean, we have towns in Maine where McDonald's closes, you know, because it doesn't get enough business.
Oh. That's kind of neat, you know, though, isn't it?
Yeah, depending on your point of view, yeah. But, yeah, exactly. And so there's, I think, you know, for people who have, you know, lived here for ages, you know, maybe have never really been out of the state in any meaningful way, you know, you watch TV and you think, well, why can't I have, you know, my toys, you know, my ATV, my snowmobile, whatever. And so, you know, it's the place that you know and don't necessarily see as always as this precious resource. Although, you know, honestly, too, there are many Maine natives who are the most, you know, passionate advocates for protecting what we have as well. So.
Mm. Well, we've set the scene, Paul. My guest is Paul Doiron, and his two books that we're going to be talking about here are The Poacher's Son and Trespasser. The Poacher, of the title of the book, the first book, which just came out in paperback, is a guy named Jack Bowditch. And his son, Mike, is somewhat estranged from his father. Let's talk about Jack. This is a really violent guy, but we want to like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting dynamic that I've encountered in my own life. People always ask me, you know, what's my relationship like with my father? And it's really unfortunate because my dad is like the sweetest, most gentle guy in the world. And everybody assumes that, you know, I've based this, you know, this violent, womanizing, alcoholic poacher on my own father. But, you know, I've certainly have friends and, you know, who have seen that, you know, experienced that sort of never measuring up to your father's expectations. You know, your father always being the toughest guy in the room, and you never feeling like you're living up to his standard of manhood. And in my case, in the case of my book, his son Mike reacts to his father, who's fairly a lawless guy, by doing the opposite. He becomes a law enforcement officer and becomes a Maine game warden as a way to, as he says, to make up for essentially for his father's sins to the extent that he can. At the same time, he craves his father's respect and even affection because they are estranged. And, he knows what his father is, he thinks, which is a violent, abusive, sort of reckless person, but he doesn't think his father is capable of some of the brutal crimes that he ends up being accused of in The Poacher's Son.
Both of these books are murder mysteries, and even though he's a game warden, Mike is very much involved in these investigations, whether they want him to be or not. He's kind of an outsider to the law enforcement agencies, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah, and wardens themselves often are. It's in Maine, game wardens attend our state police academy along with state troopers and everyone else, and then they also have another what they call the Advanced Warden Academy. But they are a bit marginal, although the work they do is central to a lot of law enforcement in Maine because we're so spread out and so rural. But even on top of that, you do have, it's a job that I think attracts loners. In many ways, these are jobs where a guy gets in a pickup truck, and 3 hours before dawn and drives off by himself into the woods, and everybody he meets has guns. He's all by himself. Mm-hmm. And they're interesting. There are a lot of really interesting people I've met, doing research for these books, and deeply respect, their experience and their intellect. And I thought Mike is actually a plausible character. He's a little bit more tortured than some, but I like to think that he's possible.
Right.
Real game warden.
In The Poacher's Son, you have a couple of situations where he actually has to follow blood trails. One is from an animal and one is from a human being. And I think this just really epitomizes what this occupation is all about. And then you've got the poacher, Jack, the dad, who is such an anti-hero. As a reader, I think that you make him a very attractive character because he's just so macho. It's like you could look up the word macho in the dictionary and you'd see a picture of him. I mean, this guy, I think the ultimate description was where you talked about how he'd go out and he would poach the biggest deer he could find, and then to show off to his neighbors, he would hang the deer up for them all to admire outside, like, here, I am the baddest dude in Maine. That was it.
Well, you do see it is a tradition in hunting country to age your meat, but in the case of, you can also take that too as like, look what I did, and I think that with Jack, that was definitely the impetus for him. And I think it's hard for Mike because Mike, he also fancies himself a tough guy, but he's sensitive as well. And he recognizes that his father, takes things to extreme and he doesn't want to be his father. But because he's estranged, he also doesn't understand his father particularly well.
Our guest is Paul Dwaran. His new books are Trespasser, which is just coming out on hardcover, and the first book, The Poacher's Son. He joins us by telephone from Maine today. And the best fiction, in my mind, is laden with conflict and friction, and we have so much of that in these books. In the first book, The Poacher's Son, we have the conflict between the locals who are being literally evicted from their property by this big company, and we have murders that result from this conflict. We don't know who commits them. And then in the second book, we have these rich, affluent, out-of-state people from Boston who get murdered. And it all starts with a deer being hit by a car. And we bring in all these different characters, like these all-terrain vehicle type guys who go out looking for roadkill. I mean, this is just classic stuff. You couldn't make this stuff up. You obviously seen this stuff happening.
Oh, yeah. You know, in Maine, at least where I live, most houses have a police scanner. You know, it's the way of keeping up with what your neighbors are doing or not doing. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, that a car will hit a deer or a moose and it will get, you know, called in and then radioed out to the, you know, to whoever's, you know, on patrol, whether it's a trooper or a deputy or whatever. And people will hear this on the scanner and will rush to the scene and will beg for the meat. And it's under Maine law, it's the discretion of the officer on the scene, you know, about what to do with it. So, the person who hits the deer gets first dibs on the deer, but, you know, many times, you know, your car has been totaled and you're half conscious and, you know, having to deal with a deer carcass is not really high on your priority list. So along comes somebody else saying, hey, I'll take it off your hands. So, yeah, I mean, that's an actual thing, and I've always been fascinated by it. I said, geez, somehow this is the beginning of something. I'm not sure what, but it turned into Trespasser.
You also have conflicts in Mike's love relationship. In the first book, his longtime girlfriend, Sarah, has essentially decided that this guy's never going to make a decent income. He wants to be a game warden. I don't understand this. And there's this conflict. And then in the second book, they've kind of patched it together, but this is still an issue.
I'm writing Mike from the point of view of a 24-year-old guy. He's 24 in The Poacher's Son. He's 25 in Trespasser. And in crime fiction, you rarely encounter protagonists that young. And I wanted to write for a couple of reasons. One was I'm more interested in reading books in which the characters grow and evolve and change a bit from book to book. I mean, I love the James Bond series, and I love Sherlock Holmes and Raymond Chandler and these books where Sherlock Holmes is basically always Sherlock Holmes. But I wanted to write a story about somebody who, you know, becomes a heroic character. He doesn't start off that way. He goes through a series of mistakes, and he's impetuous, and he's 24, you know, and he's a guy, and he doesn't know what he wants. And you know, this extends as well to his romantic relationship, and he's trying to make the best of it, he thinks, in Trespasser especially, where he feels like he's learned some lessons and has another shot here with Sarah, his longtime girlfriend. But, you know, the stresses are on him, and he really doesn't understand who he is yet, you know, let alone how to be with a woman, you know, in a long-term way. And again, I think that's sort of interesting, you know, to see, again, from the standpoint of, growing up and, you know, what does it mean to be a man? You know, what does it mean to be a partner in a romantic relationship? And he's still struggling and finding his way. So I'm trying to bring some of what I consider to be more literary concerns to what I hope are really, you know, gripping crime novels as well.
And in both books, we have the poacher looming over everything. He's much more present in the first book, but in the second book, he's looming. And then we have these wonderful peripheral characters. And of course, my favorite one is the retired game warden, who's this daredevil pilot.
Yeah, he's everybody's favorite character.
He's a great character,
including my own. I mean, I knew, you know, very early on in the writing of The Poacher's Son that he was going to play a major role, and he's somebody who is not based on any one person in my life, but I've been fortunate to have some mentors who, you know, didn't have conventional college educations, but are just immensely wise guys. You know, they, you know, they've been around the block all kinds of different ways and taught me a lot back when I didn't know anything. And I wanted to, you know, to show that kind of a relationship between Mike and this character, Charlie Stevens. So I do hear a lot about Charlie, and he's fun to write.
And Charlie's in both books, but in the first book, going back after reading Trespasser and seeing his presence in that one and finding out some mysteries, like things about Charlie's wife, in the first book, to actually see him out doing the stuff that he's doing, what a wild man. The way he just comes flying in, he's like, oh yeah, yeah, we saw this old Ford over there. We think you were poaching deer. He's flying in the middle of the night, landing in these little tiny lakes. It's just insane.
It is. And these are real jobs there are a handful of guys who are warden pilots for the state of Maine. And, you know, it's actually quite poignant. And one of them died over in March, crashing his plane in a snow squall on a very remote lake up near the Allegash, which is a historic wilderness waterway. And you know, really, it hit home about the bravery of doing some of this work, you know. And it's important work as well, because, I mean, these are the guys who go up there, you know, a kid gets lost in the woods, a little child, and people have to, you know, somebody has to find them fast. And it's amazing how competent wardens are at search and rescue. Just so impressive.
So a lot of the fiction is inspired by real people, real things, but your imagination created most of it. I understand in the new book, in Trespasser, that there was a case of a guy, and I wasn't familiar with it, not being from Maine, but there was
right,
kind of a famous case that sort of gave you a little nugget to begin with as far as spinning out your ideas.
Yeah, I was interested in the concept. I'm a Catholic, and so I was very interested in the concept of guilt. especially after the events of The Poacher's Son. And I wanted to write a book that talked a little bit about guilt. And in Maine, there is a long simmering, over 20 years now, case of a rape and a murder where a very affable farmer was arrested for killing a babysitter and abducting her into the woods and doing things to her. And for 20 years, he was convicted, but there have been people who have worked really tirelessly to win his release, saying that, you know, that there's DNA evidence that, you know, absolves him of the crime and that he had, unfair trial. And it's really something to behold. I mean, F. Lee Bailey has been part of it at one point. And it won't go away. It whatever one feels about, you know, if it was rightly or wrongly decided, it's still in the paper. It still makes the front page of our local newspapers regularly.
Mm.
And I really wanted to, that gave me again some ideas about this question of guilt. You know, people who are convinced that this guy is innocent, you know, and the system has found him, you know, definitively guilty. And I think, you know, in both books, there's this question in my mind about how well we ever know another human being. We think, you know, even our family members, you know, we think that we know them, everything about them. And, and you see on the news, people being constantly surprised by, you know, their brother will kill somebody and they just can't believe it, you know. And they'll be the first ones that stand up in front of the news cameras and say, I know this person and they could never have done it. And then, you know, the evidence comes out and it's obvious that they did it. I mean, the Scott Peterson case in California a few years ago was a great example of that. I mean, the dead woman's own in-law, own parents, you know, vouched for their son-in-law, who turned out to be, you know, obviously the killer.
Well, I'm a product of the Catholic Church myself, and I have brothers, and I'm hearing the Twilight Zone theme in the background. My guest is Paul Dworen, and he's written a couple of real page-turners here featuring Maine game warden Mike Bowditch. And the first book is The Poacher's Son. It recently came out in paperback. The second book out of a three-book deal that he signed with his publisher just came out. It's called Trespasser. And these are very different books. Were you trying to make them very different?
I was. You know, the first book is very much about the woods. It's very, you know, it's a woodsy book. I mean, you know, The Poacher's Son is suggests that you're going to get deer being killed and that sort of thing. And that appeals to lots of people. But the work of game wardens is very, very broad. I mean, not only do they, you know, they catch poachers, but they search for lost Alzheimer's patients and recover bodies, drowned bodies, and look for marijuana plantations in the woods and that sort of thing. And so end up getting involved in all sorts of crimes. And I live on the coast of Maine and wanted, you know, having written a book about the North Woods, I really wanted to write a book about the area that I live in, which it's, you know, at this time of year especially, my office window looks out on Route 1. And, you know, the traffic just quintuples, you know, over the span of the Memorial Day weekend or, you know, and it's a different world in its own way. And I wanted to write a book that captured that Maine, which I think is a more familiar Maine for people who have visited, you know, who have come to Acadia National Park or that sort of thing. Uh-huh. So, and I wanted to, you know, to show some that other aspects, I think, too, of the kinds of things that interested me, including, you know, this, as I said, the sort of issue of guilt and Mike sort of struggling with his sense of faith and that sort of thing, too.
Well, I really love this series, and I'm excited about reading the third book. Our guest today has been Paul Dworen, and his first book, The Poacher's Son, has just come out in paperback. The new book, Trespasser, just out in hardcover. And I'm betting that third book is done.
It is done.
You got a title?
No one else has signed off on this, but I'm calling it, so far I'm calling it Snowblind.
Perfect. So it's going to be in the winter, huh?
It is the deep, deep winter.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on the program, and when that book comes out, we'll have to try to get you back.
I would be happy to come back. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. Our guest today has been Paul Dworen, who joined us by telephone from the beautiful state of Maine. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week when my guest in the Book Nook will be Paul Dixon. Paul is probably the most prolific writer I've ever met. He's written nearly 60 books. And next week we'll be talking about the new revised Dixon Baseball Dictionary, which just came out in paperback in the third edition. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.